Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Smoking Snake podcast, the only English language podcast all about Brazilian football. Guys, we're back. We are back. We had a nice little off-season there. We did done our preseason. We got back to our training. We warmed up our vocals, and we are back to bring you another episode of the Smoking Snake. This is episode 81, and I am, of course, your host, Peter, joined as always by Enric. Enric, what's going on, man? Did you enjoy your little break? Did you miss me?
Yeah, I definitely missed you, man. It's been such a long time. Last year, we took a break as well, but that was because we were a little sick. But now, Peter decides to go and ski, so we have to take a little bit of an apology for our viewers and listeners. So thank you guys for always being here with us, and it's a joy to talk about Brazilian football or anything that happens in the competitions.
Yeah, 100%. And it's not to say that we didn't leave you guys with a lot of good content. Our last two episodes were interviews with the amazing Gabriel Fu and, of course, my man, Marcelo Ferrancini. If you haven't listened to those, go back and listen to them. We'll have another very great interview coming up soon. But for now, we've got to catch up on the goings-ons in Brazil, the nation of football, because a lot of things are happening on top of the craziness of silly season, all the transfers going back and forth. We have Copinha, the youth tournament, and we have all the state tournaments kicking off. There's a lot of action going on in Brazil, big names coming to the continent, leaving the continent, and so it's a really exciting time. Brazilian football truly does not sleep. But Enric, let's start here with the Copinha. For those who don't know, Copinha, it's hard there. I don't know if there's really much of an equivalent. It's under 20 teams from all over Brazil participate in this youth competition in Sao Paulo, the most prestigious, and just all the eyes of the nation are locked on this youth tournament. It's seen the likes in recent years of Andriki, Palmeiras, the champions 2 years in a row, Neymar, Lucas, just all the big names that you can think about coming out of Brazil have played and made their names really for the first time on a national stage in the Copinha, kind of equivalent to maybe the Memorial Cup in Canadian hockey or some of these other crazy North American tournaments like Minnesota State Hockey or Texas football, stuff like that. But it's really on that national level. So I can't stress how important this tournament was, and a lot of great football playing. We saw a lot of great young players making their debut or just adding to their CV. Enric, Corinthians end up winning it all 1-0 over Cruzeiro in the final. Talk to me about this tournament. How did you find it? If you got to watch a lot of it, I know you and I were watching some of the Santos games. What were your impressions of this big tournament?
Well, as you said, Peter, this is definitely one of the best tournaments that is played in Brazil, especially for the young kids. And it's exciting. There's a lot of energy. And I think even the fans are excited watching this because we watch so much of Brasileirão, and then for a month there's nothing going on in Brazil, and this is the time when everything starts back. If it wasn't for this competition beginning in January, I don't think that many people would be watching it. But given that it's during the specific time that more people have time free, especially after the new year, it's definitely something that they can waste or enjoy time watching it. So as a tournament, it's a pretty long tournament with many teams, but it's played in a short amount of time. Every team is playing in about 2 or 3 days. Santos overall performance was great, especially in the group stage. On the knockout stages, I feel like we did the same mistake as last year when we lost to América Mineiro, a team from the Mineiro state, as Cruzeiro by the same result, I think 3-0. So it's unfortunate that we end up like this, not being able to make it to the quarterfinals, where I think after that we could have reached the final and played against Corinthians, but it's Cruzeiro who take that spot and lose 1-0. A spectacular goal scored by Corinthians, I believe, in the last 10 minutes of the match. So it was a great game in Neoquímica, and overall, very great to see Corinthians lifting the trophy. And for the first time since COVID, it was in Palmeiras. So thankfully, we got to see a different winner this time.
Yeah, definitely. And it was a tournament that ended a lot of the times the Sao Paulo tournament. It's a Sao Paulo team winning it all. But you're right. We really like to see that those different teams win. And Palmeiras, I can't take much more of them winning. But there were some great storylines. Of course, Estevão played for Palmeiras, though they got booted out, I believe in the round of 32. He had a few goals, a few penalties, definitely contributed, and a lot of calls for him to be in the senior team. But some of the other standout players, you mentioned that last minute goal from Corinthians to win in the final, scored by none other than Kaiki Ferrari, which is just, I love that name. Left winger, scored a few goals, I think 3 goals and 5 assists in 9 matches or 8 matches, something like that. Really prolific and possibly a star for the future, combining with that striker Pedrinho for Corinthians to ultimately give them the title. And you mentioned Santos. Yes, they bowed out to Cruzeiro, but Cruzeiro very strong defensively. A lot of nice pieces there, and they were a really complete team that ended up becoming the runners up. So no shame in going out to them. I think Santos were very good. Enzo Montero, one of the leading scorers of the tournament. 7 goals in 6 appearances. Great stuff from him. And of course, the main man, the number 10 for the Santos youth team, Miguelito, the Bolivian, playing a role as well. Actually, both players, Enzo and Miguel, are both Bolivians. So kind of cool for the nation of Bolivia. But yeah, another Copinha in the books. And I just wanted to go out of my way to congratulate the club Aster. Enric, I think we tweeted about this, and we may have even talked about it with Gabriel Fou, but the club Aster advanced to the, I believe it was the quarterfinals, before bowing out. This is a club that was founded in the last couple years, not much of a pedigree, and yet they go for this run in the Copinha, excuse me, that was really awesome to see.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the victory that they had against Palmeiras, one of their biggest achievements. Of course, they went to the next round and they were able to play against the easier side, Guaratinguetá. But overall, imagine if this team would have taken on Flamengo and reached the semifinals of the Copinha. Great story. Just like anything that we hear in Brazil, like Brasiliense, teams that are founded and within a couple of years from its foundation, they reach high promotions and play at the high level. So it's just wonderful to see these players play at this level, in teams that we never heard of in the Brasileirão. So it's great. They had a great run and they did everything that they can. And I'm sure that those players are sh soon going to jump to a bigger team in the future.
Yep, absolutely. And let's just put a bow on the Copinha talk here. Another team that kind of achieved a little bit of notoriety is Capital FC, coming from the state of Brasiliense, the DF. They had a player, Hian, 8 goals, or excuse me, 8 goal contributions in 5 matches. Really impressive from him. The 20-year-old striker could get on the radar of some of the bigger teams. And they actually got it out of the group stage. So again, it's great to see Brasiliense, or excuse me, not Brasiliense, clubs from the DF, the Brasília, the city of Brasília, doing well. And Grêmio as well, a good tournament. Two players from there, Jardiel and Freddy Nogueira, complete goal scorers. So again, congratulations to Corinthians, very deserved, I think. Can't wait to see what the future holds for all of these young talents. Before we move on, congratulations to Flamengo. They won the first edition ever of the Copinha Feminina, the ladies' Copinha, which was awesome to see. They beat Botafogo 2-0 in the final, which is was great. And it was great to see that tournament getting a little bit of attention in the national media. So great to see. But Enric, let's move on now to state tournaments. In Brazil, these tournaments are kind of divisive. Some people think of them as preseason tournaments. Some people put, a lot of pressure on the team. But they are a great test and a great way to get the team integrated. And they're even more important now than ever. In the Copa do Brasil going forward, slots will be allotted not on the CBF ranking, but on performance in these state tournaments. We've already seen Santos this year in 2024 will not be featured in the Copa do Brasil because of the poor performance in the Paulista last year. So again, these state tournaments, they're very important for progression into the Copa do Brasil. So let's start off with the highest ranked, according to the CBF, and one of the most prestigious state tournaments, the Campeonato Paulista. Enric, we've got the Big Four, and maybe I guess the Big Five with Red Bull Braga, all kicking off three games apiece, including a game going on right now, the Majestic Classic. São Paulo leads 1-0 over Corinthians. But how have you seen the start of this new Paulista?
Well, you mentioned that this might not be the biggest competition in Brazil, but for me, I think it is. Paulista, not talking about Carioca or other state competitions, but especially Paulista, maybe because we're Santos supporters, I view it as one of the best competitions, even higher than Brasileirão, because this was the time when, looking back in my past, this was the time when I started following Santos in the Campeonato Paulista, and I felt like it was a little bit more fair playing those teams from third, fourth division, or even non-division compared to how about the teams that we match in the weekly basis in the Brasileirão. This is the time when Santos can perform. And I think they have done a really great job so far. They won the first two games, one away against Botafogo of São Paulo by a goal scored by newly brought player Otero. And then played a very great match at home against Ponte Preta. We were able to beat them 3-1, and luckily for us, we get the first win against them since 2018. And I think overall, when you look at the Santos group, this is the first time in a couple of years that we don't have any of the big fives in our group. I believe in the last two seasons, we've had Red Bull Bragantino, so our chances of going on the knockout stages has been very limited. So thankfully here we win the first two matches. We lose 2-1 against Palmeiras, but again, great overall performance by the team. And it's crazy. You mentioned Brazil, football in Brazil happens so quickly, transfers and everything, even the teams change up so quickly. Like you look at the team that finished last season over a month ago against Fortaleza, and half of those players don't even play for Santos anymore, and everything seems like it's taken a turn for the better, and hopefully we get to see that more often in the future.
Yeah, there's been a complete overhaul in the Santos roster, as one would expect. We'll talk a lot more about transfers in the coming days. Still a lot of transfer window open in Europe and Brazil. So we'll wait till those kind of calm down and settle down before we really go and deep dive. But there's been huge moves. And Santos, like one of the players you mentioned, Otero, coming in. Scoring his first goal in his first game to give us that win over Botafogo, ends up adding another player coming over from Corinthians, Juliano, adding two goals and an assist in these first three games. So they've really hit the ground running. Unfortunate that loss to Palmeiras, but champions of Brazil versus a Serie B team, what do you really expect? But yeah, I'm with you. I'm pretty optimistic. And one of the great things about the Paulista, at least from Santos supporters' perspectives, is that there's a chance, and I don't want to jinx it now, but that you could hoist the trophy at the end, which is just not true lately in the Brasileirão. And even though we came close in Libertadores, definitely the underdog, and it's tough in the Copa do Brasil too. So this is our best shot at a trophy this year. As far as a traditional trophy, you know, Serie B, of course, we want to win that as well. And I think we're putting ourselves in a good position with this newly constructed roster. Enric, before we move on, let's spend maybe just one more second with Santos here. Have you liked how they played? Carrillo's coming back. I don't think he was all that great the first time. I'm still not that too enthusiastic about him. But 2 wins in 3 games, you know, we're scoring goals. Have you liked the overall play, leaving the results aside?
I really have, Peter. I think overall we've played much better compared to how we played last season, like disregarding the match that we had against Palmeiras, when, of course, you need to defend for most of the time, as long as the team hasn't conceded. And then when they did concede, they came back, scored a goal, which I never expected to do from Santos. So it's a tough stadium to play in. And the first 2 matches that we had, the team played very well. They couldn't let the opposition take the ball and have possession. So they have very limited chances going forward. And when those teams did go forward, the only thing that they could do was cross. But we have Gil, who is a very tall defender, and alongside Joaquim, in my opinion, it's going to bring back a good duo, same as to what Bowerman did last year. So yeah, I really like how this team has been playing. It seems like everything now is under control compared to the mess we've seen in previous seasons. So I don't know, maybe it's too early to judge, but so far, if we continue in this path, not only we might win Paulista, we might even win Brasileirão Serie B. So hopefully in those two competitions we can get the most out of them.
All right, let's hope for that. We've brought them up, so let's move on to Palmeiras. Doing what you'd expect, 2 wins and a draw. That draw was away to Novo Horizontino, another team that actually I think overperformed in the Copinha. But Palmeiras picking up where they left off, no surprise, right? Rafael Veiga absolutely destroying the competition. I think 4 goals already. In those 3 matches. So, pretty impressive stuff from one of the best midfielders in all of Brazil. Any comments on Palmeiras? Any comments at
Palmeiras.
all?
Yeah, Palmeiras is a great team, but I think the downfall of Palmeiras has started because, of course, they've gotten the results. They have 7 points in 3 games, but they have conceded goals. They conceded against Novo Horizontino. They conceded at home too against Inter de Limeira, who is a team that doesn't even exist in the top 4 divisions in Brazil. And they conceded against Santos. So overall, of course, they have players like Veiga who can score. Even though most of those goals have come from penalty kicks, I believe that Palmeiras, without youngsters, without Endrick in attack, it's different. Although they got Mesinho, as we mentioned earlier. But comparing the 4 big teams in the Paulista, in my opinion, São Paulo is the one that has performed the most from those four. And the poorest has been Corinthians for the results that they've been getting. So I don't know what to expect from São Paulo this season. I feel like after that Copa do Brazil win, everything has restarted. And with the new manager that managed, I believe, Água Santa last Paulista and Juventude in the Serie B. So he had 2 great spells with 2 different teams. I believe São Paulo is going to be one of the best teams in the Brazil for the upcoming 2 or 3 years if things go as expected. So they have become a tough team, and who knows, maybe São Paulo might win a major trophy like a Libertadores soon as well.
Yeah, they are impressive. Like you said, they mimic Palmeiras' results here, 2 wins and a draw, although they currently lead against a 10-man Corinthians as we record. So you'd expect them to keep on plugging. Lucas Moura has been excellent so far, but it's really hard to tell these teams, you know, whether they are This is all smoke and mirrors. The success could be very, very short-lived. These state tournaments are, starting in January, and we're talking about a season that will end in December. So it's really hard to tell how these teams will do later in the year based upon their results, especially we're only 3 games in. But I agree with you. I think São Paulo's looked fantastic, and I think they'll continue to. They've definitely got the roster makeup to do some serious damage. And yeah, they're back in Libertadores, so who knows how far they can go. Corinthians, I think much the same way. Total, I don't want to say
Pass.
disaster, but 1 win, 2 losses, not too bad as they get things going here. But more concerning off the pitch. I think Mano Menezes was caught like on a hot mic, basically calling Yuri Alberto an idiot. They had some issues with the front office signing Lucas Veríssimo, the central defender that came in. I guess had wanted to sign a contract, and they were playing hardball, and an offer came in from Qatar, and Veríssimo took it. I think today, just the story broke. He gave his side of the story, and saying, said basically that he wanted to re-sign, and that it was kind of the administration's fault that they let that slip through their fingers. So, a lot of issues for Corinthians on and off the pitch, but I do think that they'll find their rhythm, and they'll get back to where they were at the end of last season. Finally, Enric, Red Bull Bragantino, 1 win, 1 draw, 1 loss. Any comments on the Red Bulls?
I mean, Red Bull was in this stage as well last season. At one point, I believe they got knocked out of by Ituano in the round of 16 or quarterfinals of the Paulista. So this is usually expected by Red Bull not performing well in Paulista and then tremendously well in the Brasileirão. It's nothing different compared to what we've seen from them in previous seasons. But in the group, they're currently sitting first with 4 points in 3 matches. Corinthians as well, 3 points in 3 matches. So Corinthians for them shouldn't be a concern. And the same thing goes for Mirassol and Inter de Limeira. So yeah, these are the four groups in the Paulista. Things are going well for all the big five teams. All of those teams are in the promotion stage at the moment, but who knows? Maybe things will turn a different route by the end of April. So it's going to be a great competition as Paulista as other competitions as well.
All right, and one of those, the second most prestigious in Brazil is the Carioca, the state tournament in Rio de Janeiro. Of course, we've got the big four there as well: Flamengo, Fluminense, Botafogo, and Vasco da Gama. As you'd expect, the big teams getting lots of points on the board. Let's start with Flamengo. A little bit again, talk about hard to read. They are one of the richest clubs in Brazil, if not the richest, certainly the most well supported, and they can support a cast that is very large and filled with quantity or quality, excuse me, and quantity. Half their squad is in the US, I believe, still right now, in Orlando. They just drew with Orlando City, and they beat Philadelphia Union, both teams from the MLS in the US of A. And they're kind of the rotated team has been hanging in there in the Carioca, a win and 2 draws for Flamengo. Any thoughts on the Red and Blacks?
Well, it's great that you mentioned that the team is split at the moment because originally I thought that since Flamengo traveled to the US, I thought at the same time those teams that they're playing in the Carioca, like Novo Iguaçu and Portuguesa, also traveled to play in US right after Flamengo had those friendlies. But as you said, it's completely different. And now it's understandable why the Flamengo squad, the B squad, has been getting those results. Draws are fine as long as they're not losing. I think they're going to be totally okay with that. 5 points in 3 matches. They have one match still to play. And if they win that, they will be able to take Vasco da Gama's spot, who are currently sitting in the promotion stage. So Things aren't going too bad for a Flamengo team that is expected to win, just like Fluminense, the team that tied the first match against Volta Redonda and then was able to win the next three. So they are performing really well at the moment, and I think we're not going to see anything different compared to last season, where Flamengo and Fluminense managed to go to the final and perform the way they did, scoring goals and giving some enjoyment to the fans.
Yeah, and their arch rival, undefeated in Carioca, Fluminense, 3 wins and a draw. Very convincing stuff there from Denise, who has been let go of the Seleção, of course, and replaced by Dorival Júnior. Fluminense, of course, beating up on some of the smaller teams in the division, although Volta Redonda did very well last year. Really, I think the story is with them. And let's see if they can do something in the league. Let's see if they can repeat, go back to back in the Carioca. And really, the third part of that story, I think, is Douglas Costa coming in from LA Galaxy as a free agent. Big name player, a little bit aging. Everyone knows about his prime at Juventus, in Italy. I believe he came back to Gremio a couple of years ago before going to MLS. He didn't make too much of an impact, so let's see what he can do this time. I'm a little bit hesitant to write him off, although I don't have a great feeling that he's going to make a huge impact because of the Luis Suarez show last season. You can't write off these older guys. Of course, he's a different type of player, but when you've got a player like that with that technical ability, no matter, I don't care if they're 50, they could still be a danger. So, like that signing, wearing the number 90, which I'm not crazy about, but like to see him coming back to Brazil. And Botafogo, a loss, but also 3 wins there. They've got to make a statement, I think, in the state tournament and early on in the season. I'm really curious to see how their season's going to shake out. But just coming across the ticker before we started the episode, the Luis Henrique saga has come to an end. The winger from Real Betis formed at Fluminense. He played footsies with Fluminense and Flamengo before settling and signing, I guess, officially, according to Globo, with Botafogo. I think it's going to be a record transfer, about 20 million euros. So I think 105 million reais. Big time, big money signing, and should be really exciting for Botafogo.
Yeah, it should be, because the player I think was expected more to play throughout Europe, and I was surprised a little bit by this transfer of him going to Brazil. But I think he's soon gonna move from Botafogo to Lyon in 6 months, so it's understandable. Another player that I think has been very well for the Botafogo team has been Jefinho, coming back to the club from Lyon, and he's been scoring a couple of goals. I believe he got the winner against Madureira and was able to score one or two more at the dying minutes for in the next three matches that Botafogo played. So despite having a loss, I think Botafogo is still in a good shape. But it's concerning the way how the only match that they lost was away from home. So it's still in question to see how Botafogo is gonna perform outside of Nilton Santos. And another surprising fact is that every game they've played, it's ended either a 1-0 or 2-0. So both teams definitely don't score. Whoever scores gets the winner. So hopefully things are going to change up in the future for Botafogo.
And finally, Vasco, the team that avoided relegation by the skin of their teeth last year. 2 wins, 2 draws, but the draws have been very entertaining. 3-3 with Sampaio Correa and 2-2 with Bangu, famous club there in Rio wearing red. Beautiful kit this year, by the way, made by Kappa. Really nice stuff. I got to look into that. But anyways, Vasco da Gama back and looking to, I don't know, Edric, do you think they have what it takes to challenge for at least a state title?
No, and hopefully they don't, because my feelings about Vasco has changed since last Brasileirão. I saw today they were training in the Cidade de Brasiliense, and I messaged Luiza saying that get those guys out of this field. They don't deserve to play there. Yeah, my overall opinion about Vasco da Gama has definitely changed, and I hope they don't even make it to the final stages of the Carioca. Despite having a team that performed well last season and some great players, I hope they don't. That's all I'll say.
All right. Well, moving past the kind of the top two state championships, we've got a few more. The Gaúcho, of course, the championship of Rio Grande do Sul features Grêmio and Internacional, Juventude, and a little club called Caxias do Sul, who actually beat Grêmio first match today. Grêmio, two more wins on the trot, but they've got a lot of work to do to make up that gaping hole in their roster that was Luis Suarez.
Yeah, definitely. And a fun fact that I have is that last season, the first round of Gaúcho, Grêmio also lost to Caxias do Sul and then proceeded to lose to them in the final, and then they won the return leg. So I don't know if we'll see the same thing happen this year, but I have a feeling that Internacional is going to overperform and they might even lift up the trophy. I don't think they're going to take two seasons in a row without a Gaúcho. So I believe this is going to be Internacional's turn.
I could see that. Last year, I called them a paper tiger, and I thought they were a little bit spineless. We'll see what they can do this year. I like a lot of the players in their lineup, in their squad, but we'll have to see if they come with the right mentality this year. I think there's a lot of quality, but I'm not sure that they have really the squad makeup to challenge for Libertadores in a serious manner this season, or for the Brasileirão. So this could be their best shot at a trophy. Inter two wins and a draw, so not too bad in their first three. Yeah, I think I'm with you. I think they'll want that trophy, if anything, for just to deny Gremio the opportunity, another opportunity to gloat. Moving on, Mineiro, Campeonato Mineiro, featuring Atlético Mineiro and Cruzeiro, América as well, still in the mix despite getting relegated. Starts off a little bit later than the other tournaments. I don't know if you remember this. I noticed they started late, and last year we talked about their final, I think, on the episode after we did everyone else's final. So not sure who does the scheduling, but Atlético Mineiro dropping their first game, winning their second. Cruzeiro, a win and a draw there. So too early to tell much of anything from these two teams. But two teams, Cruzeiro, I think, doing a lot of soul searching after last season. And they have that Ronaldo money. And Atlético Mineiro, I think, will be looking to get back in the mix for a title, whether it's Libertadores, Brasileirão, Copa do Brazil, or all three. They, of course, signed probably one of the best signings and best players this season, Gustavo Scarpa, former Palmeiras champion, Libertadores champion, 2022 Player of the Year, comes back from Nottingham Forest. He had some personal issues in England, didn't really work. But he's back where he belongs and where he fits in, which is in Brazil. And I think he's going to have a great season for Galo this year.
Yeah, the Campeonato Mineiro, anything can happen. Of course, we have only two teams this year that are in the Brasileirão, but the team that has overperformed so far has been America. Two wins in their two games, 12 goals scored, one conceded, I believe one against Pouso Alegre, and then the other match against Ipatinga. So who knows? Last season, they made it all the way up to the final when they lost to Galo. So who knows? Maybe this year they can have a chance to winning it. Cruzeiro, I believe they're still not a good enough team to win this competition. So these are four great competitions, as we see in Brazil. Of course, there's many others like Paranaense, Brasiliense, teams in Amazon, all over Brazil. I believe there's like more than 10 or 15 states. So there's football everywhere at any time, mostly after night. So if you guys would like to see any match that is currently going on in Brazil, just watch state championships in Brazil, and those are very nice tournaments, especially those four that we talked about.
Yeah, absolutely. And you talked about other tournaments in Ceará. Fortaleza getting a couple wins in the DF. Our second club, Brasiliense, two wins and a loss. So they are getting the ball rolling there. But yeah, the state tournaments are going on all over Brazil. And once again, they're super important when you look at how to qualify for the 2025 Copa do Brasil. All right, so Enric, let's end on some upcoming matches. We've got the big four competitions that we're looking at, the state competitions that we just talked about. Paulista, we mentioned it already, Corinthians and São Paulo. The results will be final by the time you guys hear this. But a couple other big matches going on: Red Bull Bragantino versus Palmeiras. Agua Santa, the runners up last year, will host Santos. Actually Portuguesa, one of the very traditional clubs of São Paulo, facing off against Ponte Preta. They have a player called Victor Andrade, excuse me. Remember him, Henrique? Former Menino da Vila, on some of those Santos teams. I think he played for Benfica for a little bit, but I did notice that he is back at Portuguesa. Pretty cool story there.
Yeah, and I think there are some other players that are in the same group as us, but and used to play for Santos. I don't remember. I think Ituano has one, Portuguesa has one, and then or no, Ituano has one, Portuguesa has two. There's another one other than Victor Andrade, and Junior Caissara plays for Santo André, the player, the right back or the left back that came to Santos last season, didn't really perform. Was transferred from Besiktas or Istanbul Başakşehir, I can't remember. So a couple players that used to be in our team, now they play as oppositions in our group. So hopefully, ooh, I wish them best of luck, especially Victor Andrade, when he played during that time when Neymar was at the club. So it's gonna be a nice memory of knowing about these guys.
Yep, absolutely. And we'll have more fixtures at the weekend as well. Same thing with Carioca. All the major teams are involved. Fluminense versus Bangu, which would be an interesting match there. And again, at the weekend, a bunch of matches. But the one you definitely want to keep your eye on is Vasco hosting Flamengo. Two Serie A clubs there clashing. It should be interesting and kind of a preview and to see what Vasco can do this year against probably a pretty tired Flamengo side with all the travel. Gaúcho, again, loaded up matches. We've got Grêmio versus Juventude on midweek, and Inter versus Caxias do Sul, the team that just beat Grêmio. And actually, Henrik, speaking of former Santos players, I don't know if you remember former Real Madrid youth team prospect Augusto Galvan came back to Santos a couple years ago, didn't fit, but he's a player for Caxias do Sul. Very technical player, but maybe just not up to it in terms of fitness, and certainly not at the level of Serie A for now, but a lot of potential in his youth, and not a bad player. But the most important fixture I think that we'll talk about is the big derby of Belo Horizonte Saturday. Atlético Mineiro hosts Cruzeiro in the first of many clashes probably this season. But again, it should be a statement game. Atlético Mineiro want to push and challenge for titles. Cruzeiro want to affirm their place in Serie A and start spending and seeing results from this all this Ronaldo money that's pouring into the club. Should be a really fascinating battle. Two teams that I think were excellent. Two of the hottest teams at the end of the 2023 Brasileirão season.
Yeah, this is going to be a great derby, and I'll give a little prediction for this one. Most of it because in the Brasileirão, when they last met each other, it ended 1-0 for Cruzeiro in the stadium. And the goal was scored, or an own goal from Atlético Mineiro in the 99th minute. So I think Galos are going to feel hard done by, and I believe they're going to smack Cruzeiro 3-0, 4-0. Who knows what? Cruzeiro ain't winning this match, Peter.
I love that prediction. And yeah, that new arena is well, was a fort. There was a period of time when it was a complete fortress, but I think you're right. I think everyone's gonna be totally just pumped up for this fixture. And I think you're right. I think they're gonna smack them and it could get ugly. You said 3-0. I like the margin, but I'm gonna go 4-1 because I think Cruzeiro will get on the score sheet. So that's the predictions, and that's also the episode. A little bit shorter than we're used to, I think, Enric, but we're just doing a little bit of catch up. Sometimes these state tournaments can get pretty tedious, and we'll just be kind of doing the catch ups and highlighting the important stuff. But we will be back with more interviews coming extremely soon. We're looking at doing a transfer show. And we're looking at, of course, doing our usual roundup and review of all the best football coming out of the nation of Brazil. But until next time, have a great night.